Eddie thought of the half-dozen cars and the big Winnebago that had been parked across the street, and had time to wonder just how many men Balazar had sent on this little expedition. Certainly not just his own guys. How had he paid for the imports? He didn't have to, Eddie thought. Someone loaded him up with dough and told him to go buy the farm. As many out-of-town goons as he could get, and somehow convinced him the guys they were going after deserved that kind of coverage. From inside the store there came a dull, percussive thud. Soot blew out of the chimney and was lost against the darker, oilier cloud rising from the crashed pulp truck. Eddie thought somebody had tossed a grenade. The door to the storeroom blew off its hinges, walked halfway down the aisle surrounded by a cloud of smoke, and fell flat. Soon the fellow who'd thrown the grenade would throw another, and with the floor of the storeroom now covered in an inch of diesel fuel. "Slow him down if you can," Roland said. "It's not wet enough in there yet."
"Slow down, Andolini?" Eddie asked. "How do I do that?"
"With your everlasting mouth," Roland cried, and Eddie saw a wonderful, heartening thing. Roland was grinning, almost laughing. At the same time, he looked at Flannel's shirt, John, and made a spinning gesture with his right hand. "Keep pumping."
"Jack!" Eddie shouted.
He had no idea where Andolini might be at this point, and so simply yelled as loud as he could. Having grown up ramming around Brooklyn's less savory streets, this was quite loud. There was a pause. The gunfire slowed, then stopped.
"Hey!"
Jack Andolini called back. He sounded surprised, but in a good-humored way. Eddie doubted he was really surprised at all, and he had no doubt whatsoever that what Jack wanted was payback. He'd been hurt in the storage area behind Tower's bookshop, but that wasn't the worst of it. He'd also been humiliated.
"Hey, Slick, are you the guy who was going to send my brains to Hoboken, then stuck a gun under my chin? Man, I got a mark there."
Eddie could see him making this rueful little speech, all the time gesturing with his hands, moving his remaining men into position. How many was that, 8? Maybe 10? They'd already taken out a bunch, God knew. And where would the remainder be? A couple on the left of the store, a couple more on the right. The rest with Monsieur Grenades R Us. And when Jack was ready, those guys would charge right into the new shallow lake of diesel fuel. Or so Eddie hoped.
"I've got the same gun with me today," he called to Jack. "This time I'll jam it up your ass. How'd that be?"
Jack laughed. It was an easy, relaxed sound. An act, but a good one. Inside, Jack would be redlining, heart rate up over 130, blood pressure up over 170. This was it, not just payback for some little punk daring to blindside him, but the biggest job of his stinking bad guy career, the Super Bowl. Balazar gave the orders, undoubtedly, but Jack Andolini was the one on the spot, the field marshal. And this time the job wasn't just beating up a dice-dopey bartender who wouldn't pay the vig on what he owed, or convincing some Yid jewelry store owner on Lenox Avenue that he needed protection. This was an actual war. Jack was smart, at least compared to most of the street hoods Eddie had met while doped up and running with his brother Henry. But Jack was also stupid in some fundamental way that had nothing to do with IQ scores. The punk who was currently taunting him had already beaten him once, and quite handily. But Jack Andolini had contrived to forget that. Diesel sloshed quietly over the loading dock and rippled along the old warped boards of the mercantile storeroom. John, a.k.a. Cy Yankee Flannel Shirt, gave Roland a questioning look. Roland responded by first shaking his head and then twirling his right hand again, more.
"Where's the bookstore guy, Slick?"
Andolini's voice, just as pleasant as before, but closer now. He'd crossed the road then. Eddie put him just outside the store. Too bad diesel fuel wasn't more explosive.
"Where's Tower? Give him to us, and we'll leave you and the other guy alone until next time."
"Sure," Eddie thought, and remembered something Susanna sometimes said in her best growling Detta Walker voice to indicate utter disbelief. "Also, I won't come in your mouth or get any in your hair."